You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Katie's upcoming season of The Bachelorette and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 231. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Got a Temptation Island podcast for you with Casey Campbell, who was on season one, who you know has been on this podcast numerous times. And we're going to talk to her about this season, talk to her about her upcoming podcast, and talk to her about the friendship that I have with Casey and the questions that I have for her regarding our friendship. And we'll get to that momentarily. Obviously, the last 24 to 48 hours have been not the easiest to deal with, and I don't want to repeat what I said in the live last night, but the live with Ashley Spivey is an hour long. It's on my IGTV. Please go there, where we address Becca and Jess's podcast from Wednesday, where they brought up my past writings. Part two is not on there because it was a giant cluster fuck, basically. You know, it was during that podcast, during that second part was when Demi released her tweet. You know, I went away from the live to go read the tweet. I was skimming it. I didn't know the exact everything involved in it. Then I went back to Ashley. So there was no point to put it up. So I'm not running from it. I immediately, when I read it, when we ended the second part of the live and I read Demi's tweet and I read what she wrote, immediately texted her. I did not hear back, did not expect to hear back, but I texted her an apology. And I should have known better. I crossed a boundary that, I should never have crossed. And I apologized to her and I apologized to her publicly under her tweet, for what she said. And, you know, all I can do is be better going forward. And, you know, there's a lot that I'm reevaluating now in terms of, you know, the biggest thing, and you're going to hear Casey and I talk about it, and you're going to hear me talk about it at the end of this podcast, but I'm going to bring it up right in the beginning. One of the biggest things that I have heard the last 2 days that have been so foreign to me and I had no idea about, and I can't be more honest with you than I am right now, is when Becca and Demi have both said that I have a power dynamic in my relationship with Bachelor Nation people. And they're basically saying, Steve, Bachelor Nation people are only friends with you because they don't want you to write anything mean about them. And they're basically kind of kissing my ass or sucking up to me. And you have this over them. And I've said this, and maybe I'm dumb and maybe I'm naive, but I have never looked at anybody that I'm friends with. And trust me, there are people in Bachelor Nation that I'm friends with that none of you know about and none of you ever will know about, because it's not my, I'm not here to like drop names. I'm just, there are people that I'm friends with that some I talk to, some I text, some I FaceTime with, some I've met. It varies for everybody. There are people I text all the time and I've never spoken to them on the phone. And, you know, but my point being, is I've never looked at any of my relationships in Bachelor Nation or any relationships that I've made in the reality TV world and looked at it as they're using me so I don't say anything bad about them. Like I was stunned when I saw Becca and Demi both say that about me, and Demi say in her tweet yesterday, I did not tell you you made me feel uncomfortable because I felt that you were basically going to attack me or go after me. And God, I feel awful because of that. I had no, I did not know that people looked at me as a power dynamic because, like I said, maybe I'm dumb and maybe I'm naive, but I actually thought the people that I have become friends with in Bachelor Nation looked at me as a person that they could talk to or text or FaceTime with, because they felt I was, I don't know, giving good advice or a good, I'm a good listener. I feel like I'm a good listener. And, you know, I just never looked at it that way. And so, yeah, ever since Becca and Demi have both said that, I'm beginning to question my relationships. And I will say that, know, I talk about this later, but since all this happened so late tonight, I was only able to get a hold of three people so far, and all three people, one of them being Casey, have said no, they didn't look at me that way, and it was nice to hear, and I wanted them to be honest with me, but gosh, maybe I was just so oblivious all these years, but I never looked at it as, oh, you're only talking to me because you don't want me to say something bad about you. Because in my conversations with these people, which I still have on text, and I, you know, conversations on the phone that I remember, it seemed like they really took an interest in something that I was doing, or I took an interest in something that they were doing, and we had really good, productive conversations. So I never thought for a second they were like, oh, they're just using me. So if something negative comes out about them, I'll spin it in their favor. Never. I never looked at it that way. Call me dumb. Call me ignorant. That's the God's honest truth. And that's where right now I'm not reevaluating my friendships. I'm going to go and be like, all right, well, I'm cutting you out. I'm cutting you out. No, I just want to talk to these people and have an open conversation. And I do want to know how they feel about me as a person. And if I ever made them feel uncomfortable, and if I ever, was there ever a time in their life where, everyone's a case-by-case basis. Some of them reached out to me first. Some of them I reached out to first. However it came to be, I want to know, in the beginning, be honest with me. In the beginning, even if did you feel a certain like, wow, I need to get, if I can get on Steve's good side, I'll be golden or whatever. He won't say anything negative about me. I've never had anyone tell me that. But then again, I've never asked. And that's what I'm going around doing right now, is I want to know if they ever felt this power dynamic that I was unaware of. And that's how they treated our friendship or our relationship. I'm not talking about a sexual relationship. I haven't had any with any of these women in the bachelor world. And, you know, I'm just at an evaluation process right now where this is all new to me. Hearing Becca and Demi say it the last 2 days and telling me that they're telling me Bachelor Nation people are basically scared of me. That's why they talk to me, because they want to be my friends. And I just thought they were genuinely interested, because I've had the conversations with them. I've seen the text messages, you know, our text conversations. It just seems like a very, it's out there now. Like, it's openly out there now that two women from Bachelor Nation, which means they have spoken to other people in Bachelor Nation who maybe are friends with me, and they told them, I went to Steve because I didn't want him saying shit about me. And I want to know. You know, I think that's important to know. And if I find out that somebody did, and I decide, you know what, maybe I just need to cut them out and not speak with them because I don't want to be used like that. It's not going to be like, oh, hey, everyone, I report today that I spoke to so-and-so and she told me, or he told me he's only friends with me. No, that's not what I'm going to do. This is all going to be done behind the scenes. But for me and for my growth, after what has come out in the last couple of days, I need to know this for my own well-being, because it's been hell the last 48 hours. When everybody thinks you're a monster now, it sucks. It's not fun, because I know who I am, and I've gotten a lot of support from the people who know me. People that I have been out with, people that I have dated. Not talking about Bachelor Nation people. I'm talking about the people that I have dated. Women who I have been with have all reached out to me tonight. And I'm not saying this to be like, see, I'm a great guy. I'm just like, look, I know who I am. And I value the opinion of those that actually know me. And I'm not dismissing what Demi said whatsoever. I crossed a line with Demi that never should have been crossed. I never should have said that, even if my intentions were, it was funny, it was the most random sex dream I ever had. Regardless, never should have shared it with her. It was inappropriate, and I apologize for it. I never should have done that. I wasn't even close to being at that point in any sort of friendship with Demi where that should have been shared. So, I apologize to her. Like I said, apologize to her personally, and I did on Twitter. But right now, I'm really doing a lot of soul searching and contacting the people that I am friends and acquaintances with, and want to open up to them and want to ask them some questions that we just never addressed. You know, did I ever make you feel uncomfortable? Did you at first only want to be friends with me or talk to me because you didn't want me to write something bad about you? I need to know this, and I need to know if there were others out there, and that's what I'm doing. So for those that say my apology isn't good enough and whatever, I just know that I'm working on myself after this has come to light. And I I'm going to do better going forward. And kind of take it from there. I feel like I'm just kind of going in a circle right now because my mind is so mush and I've been dealing with a lot. But I thank all of you who have supported me, those of you who have been there for years, who have sent the emails, who have sent the DMs saying, you know, who have sent texts saying thank you. You know, Steve, I support you. I understand that, you know, I wasn't a fan of what you wrote before, but I really have seen the change in you. I've gotten a lot of those emails, and I thank you, and I hear you. The people that are, you know, are calling me every name in the book, you know, if you're hearing all that stuff for the first time today and yesterday, by all means, you have every right to express that, but just know that there has been work done, and I have talked about this. I talked about it on the live last night. I have apologized in the past. I've never shied away from the shit that I wrote back, you know, between 2011 and 2016, or hell, even before that. Before the site was what it was now. Nothing about it is acceptable. You know, even though it was accepted within the pop culture world with sites like Perez Hilton, The Dirty, Delisted, and numerous others like Ashley and I talked about, just because it was accepted in the pop culture world doesn't make it right. And it just took me a while to realize that. And so I apologize that people had to suffer through hearing those writings, and it's not me. It's not what I believe in anymore. I'm doing my best to hang on to the positive comments that I'm getting from the people that know me and my close friends that have texted and emailed and called tonight. So, you know, where we go from here, I can tell you that I'm working on myself to be better, to do better, and that's what you can expect from me going forward. And I hope a lot of you, you know, stay with it. You're going to get your spoilers for Katie's season in the coming weeks, and I'll have those and just kind of take it from there. And you know, I please go listen to the live last night with Ashley, part one. Part two was basically what I just covered in the previous 10 minutes. So thank you for being there. And thank you for listening. And let's talk a little more Temptation Island right now with Casey Campbell. Okay, let's welcome in our guest. You remember her from season one of Temptation Island. She was my weekly guest that season. She's been on a couple times since then. Always great to have her back. Casey Campbell. Casey, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Things could be better, but we plug along.
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to go over with you this season of Temptation Island and your thoughts, your opinions on, you know, the things that you've seen, the couples that we've dealt with. And even though we are, you know, we've only gotten one of the resolutions, which is Corey and Aaron. And look, we don't even know what's happened to Corey and Aaron since that day, because we still have the reunion show next week. And the reunion show was taped a month ago, so something could have changed from whatever we see on the reunion show next week. We don't know. But let's just kind of start taking your experience from this show and comparing it to, you know, some of the others. You know what's funny? When I had Mark Wahlberg on at the beginning of the season and I was going over the cast with him, it was before any of the episodes had aired, and I was just like, all right, Mark, I'm just going over this just based on the bios that USA is releasing on their website. And I saw, and the funny thing was, and I said, I'm going to give a prediction of who these couples most remind me of just based on the bios. And I'm like, okay. And I go, you know, Justin, Kristen and what's his name? Why am I blanking on his name?
Kristen and Julian.
Julian. I was going to say Justin. Okay. Kristen and Julian. Yeah. I said, Mark, you know, high school sweethearts, been together 11 years. I said, they're the ones that are most similar to Casey and Evan, right? And he's like,
Yeah. He's like, maybe not.
Maybe not, Steve. He's like, yeah, maybe in the terms of how long they were together, but there's nothing about Julian and Kristen that you will see that is relatable
that is
to
like
Evan,
and Evan.
Evan and Casey. I'm like,
funny though that he said that, because when they first announced like season 3, and like they always announce like the couples first,
yeah,
or whatever, when they announced the four couples, I think if you like scroll through like Temptation Island IG to back to those posts, I literally commented, well, this feels scary familiar, and like it got a shit ton of likes, because literally that's what I thought too. I was like, seriously? I was like, 11 years high school sweethearts, like he's cheated like multiple times, like doesn't know like if they should move to the next step. I'm like, oh my god, like could it be more similar? But no, thank god it's not similar.
Yeah, I mean that and I think that's what he said. He's like, yeah, he goes I can see where you say they might be similar, but the similarities end at high school sweethearts and together for a long time.
Yeah,
you know, that's basically where it ends. But they've certainly been an interesting couple, because, I mean, especially compared to you and Evan, how theirs turned out, you know, it's like Julian went in with a plan, and that plan was, I'm going to prove to my girlfriend that I'm loyal and that I want her to be the one with me, you know, forever. And he seemingly has done that. I mean, we don't know what her answer is going to be at the final bonfire, but we know he bought a ring during his overnight date with Tula, and he's going to propose, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But what have you thought about how Julian, like, I'll be honest.
I'm not going to lie. So I feel like this is, like, me just, like, projecting my, like, own shit onto Julian. But, like, right, like, what I said, first impression. As soon as they announced the four couples and I saw their pictures and, like, we're all, like, curious about who they are, so you go to click on their Instagram. As soon as I saw that he's like a football player, he's already verified, he's had like a past with cheating, I'll be honest, I had no hopes for this dude. I was like, he's gonna be the worst, like 100%. However, watching him on this show, and I know what kind of like high stress situation and what the girls are like and the alcohol, I know what it's like. And I'm wildly impressed with him.
Yeah.
Like, not even just with like his own journey and like his things that he's realized and like things he's realized about Kristen, but the way he is with the other guys, it's like, there's been a few times where he's like giving Kendall looks and I'm just like, yeah, like this is a good guy who's like trying to be a good man. And he's like this, he recognizes that there's boys here. You know, like Julian's a man, like he's has his shit together.
Yeah. And I don't think you're alone in that thinking. I can basically, you know, ditto that same thought process. When I, when I judged a book by its cover at the beginning of the season, I was like, there's no way this guy's a total player. You know, he's jacked. All the good women are going to want to be with him. He admittedly has cheated on her twice in the past, and now he's going to be basically placed on an island where the whole goal is to get you to cheat. I absolutely pegged him a certain way, and he's proven me wrong, and good for him. I'm glad he did.
Yeah. No, like, it blew me away, I think, personally, because that was, like, back in the day when I thought, like, Evan was a good guy. But that was what my hopes were. I was hoping, like, all my gut feelings, like I was going to go to the island and like Evan was going to do what Julian did and like totally prove that all my gut feelings, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
So to see Julian actually go and like do it and like prove to him and Kristen and her family and his family and the freaking world, like, no, like I'm about this girl and I'm going to do what I need to do to make it happen. Like, it was very impressive to see.
Yeah. Certainly we don't know what happens, but I have a hard I have a hard time believing that after all of this, he's going to get down on one knee at the final bonfire and she's going to be
no.
Yeah, like it just, I'd be surprised.
She's hard to read for me, though, because I don't think so either, because that just seems like absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah.
But then there's like times like throughout the show, and I like Kristen a lot, by the way. I think that she's great. I think she's very, I mean, like, if I'm being totally real, she's not the greatest for reality TV because like, she's not really doing much with like the guys or like anything. She's just being a normal girl. But there's different points where she makes comments how she doesn't know what she wants and she doesn't know how she feels about Julian and she doesn't trust him. And so that definitely concerns me because I hope to God, like, I don't know. I hope she doesn't like get in her head. I hope she follows her heart, but I don't know. She seems to be in a little in her head, but she's also been through a lot too. So
yeah. And
that makes sense.
I think one of the other guys, I can't remember which guy it was, but basically said to her like, hey, you know, you have trust issues and you know that he's going to be out and go out with, and not even talking about the island, like post show.
Yeah.
If it's running through your head now, it's always going to run through your head. And while that was sound advice or whatever, it's also before she realized and Julian realized they have some deeper things to talk about and get past that, because that was before they realized about her brother's death and she's never opened up to Julian about it. And I think once she does and once he does and they talk about things that seem to be a little more than surface level, I think that they will, they'll make it, they'll be okay.
I agree. I think, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think with them, I think they're solid, but they've obviously been through some real trauma together, which, I mean, I wouldn't wish on anyone, and they've clearly never discussed it, and I think you're right. I think once they finally, like, get that last wall down, I'm hoping, like, everything's good, because I'm a fan of them. I like them a lot. I actually love watching both of them separately, especially Julian, man. Big fangirl for Julian.
I think a lot of people are cheering for them now. I mean, it would be a real big letdown if this guy did all this work on the island, proposes to the girl that he's wanted to propose to for 11 years, and she says no. Like, that would really suck.
It would be devastating. It would be so sad. None of us can handle that. That would be not good. Yeah. Not good at all.
So the other couple I want to get to is the one we have a resolution on, and that's Aaron and Corey. You know what? They were interesting to me in that I could say that's the only resolution we have so far. I'm 0-for-1, and it's not because I thought she was going to dump him or he was going to dump her or she wanted to leave with Juwan or he wanted to leave with Amanda. I thought when they got to the final bonfire that they were going to break up amicably and just be like, you know what? I realize some things out here, and he's going to say, I realize some things too, and I think we're better off just as friends. Like, I thought that's how they were going to go, and obviously I was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming they're still together now. We won't know until the reunion show next week or whatever, but, and plus there were some things, you know, I had her on the podcast, and she said some things in there that, you know, when she said them to me on the podcast, I made a mental note of it. I'm like, okay, this could be, once I see the result play out, this could be the answer that leads to, that's why she's not together with him. But apparently I read that wrong because they are together. But what was your take on Aaron and Corey?
So I don't know if you know this, but I've met Aaron in real life. I don't know what's happened like since I saw her. I don't know anything other than I enjoy her. I think she's a really cool girl. And apparently, I mean, I've seen it. She's getting like a lot of hate from the viewers because basically they're saying that she doesn't treat Corey the way that he should be treated and whatnot. I watching the show because I met her first before I really watched the show, and I've never met Corey, but then watching the show after I met her, I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it just seems like they're two different people. I think Corey, I don't know, man. I like them both, but I just don't know if they're meant to be together. And it kind of almost seems like they're just like prolonging the inevitable.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Oh, okay.
I just feel like they're just staying together to kind of stay together. But I actually do, watching Aaron's journey. And I think when she started realizing that in the past, like she's been in really bad, like toxic relationships. And because of that, she kind of like self-sabotages and like projects onto Corey.
Yeah.
That I can relate to 100%. Like putting your walls down and like not taking it out on the person you're currently with after you've been in toxic relationships, that's like a real thing. So if she's really struggling with that, like, I totally get it. And Corey just might not be the guy that's, like, right to get her through that. You know, she might need to do a little self-growing on her own and, like, get past that before she can, like, really properly and, like, healthily be with someone, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's, and that was what I kind of looked at. And I don't know if they're going to end up breaking up inevitably down the road or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we don't know.
And my other thing was, her thing going into the show was she's always gone out with athletes, and Corey was always jealous. Mm-hmm. Am I going to live up to the athlete? I'm not an athlete. I'm not someone who's out there.
Athletes ain't shit.
Yeah. And if anything, you know, she should know that, you know, athletes probably aren't the greatest guys in the world to date unless you are willing to put up with a lot of stuff. And
And most of them peaked, like, you know, like they peaked and now they're just like not good. Like, no, dude.
So
the athletes ain't it, Corey.
So I'm at a, you know, I guess we won't know what's going to happen with them, but they chose to stay together when they left the island. We'll see what they say on the reunion show next week, which was taped a month ago. So things can change, because we all remember last season was a complete shit show because the results that happened on the island changed by the time they got to the reunion show, and then by the time the reunion show aired, all those results had changed as well. Like, it was a total disaster.
During the reunion, things have changed. Like, not things have changed, but during the reunion of season 2, things changed during actual filming. So that could have happened this time as well. Like, you just never know with these reunions, apparently.
Yeah. We don't know, and we'll find out next week. But they are a couple that I hope. I mean, they said all the right things there on that final bonfire to each other.
Yeah.
And Aaron said, she realizes she treated him poorly, and he realized I need to put my foot down more. We don't know anything about the relationship post that moment. And we don't know Mark Wahlberg sat there and said, I don't know if I believe you. I don't know if I believe you, Corey.
Yeah.
I think when she gets mad at you, you're going to cower. He literally said that to him on Monday night. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be really interesting. However, I hope they work out. I hope things work for them, because if they work out as a successful couple, it actually gives Temptation Island if we're going over the first 8 couples of seasons 1 and 2, only 2 of them are still together. Shari and Javen, and then Nicole and Carl got back together. I mean, they were broken up for a year and then got back together. So they're only 2 for 8. Yeah. The show does not have a great track record. So
definitely not.
You almost want them to, you know, say, like, you know what, it does work. If you stay together, and Aaron realized what she did wrong, and Corey realizes that he wasn't being treated like he felt he should have, and they work through that, then good for them. You know, I hope it works out. And if it doesn't,
100%.
Then if it doesn't, then I guess we're going to be 2 for 9 until we get to the
2 for, yep. So,
because we know all 4 couples last season are completely done, and they're not getting back together. And your season. I mean, you and I have never talked about this, but in terms of Carl and Nicole, you obviously are friends with Nicole, and you were there when they were broken up, and for that year post show that they were broken up. When did you see, or when did you know, or did she ever come to you asking questions about getting back with Carl?
I can talk about this. She's a private person, so I never want to, like, say too much. But, I'm trying to think of the timeline, because COVID has really messed up everything. I feel like it's like 2019. But basically, they were broken up for almost a full year, and I think when they first started talking again, they were keeping it like super on the down low. Like, nobody really knew. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of started opening up in like our group text and just letting us know that they're talking again. And then we had like, a trip in December. I think that was like December of 2019 to LA.
Yeah.
And like, he came and it was a blast, and like, Javen was there, and it was great. Like, we all had a great time, but I don't think they were like officially together. And before that trip, when I knew that they were like kind of talking and like trying to start things up again, I'm not going to lie, like, I was like very not on board. I was just like, I don't know if this is a good idea. But I'm always going to like keep an open mind. Like, she's my friend, support her no matter what. And then once I saw them together on our trip, I was like, you know what? This seems different. Like, this is different energy, different vibes than what I got when they were first together back on the island when I hung out with them. And I don't know, they just work really hard on themselves as individuals, and they work really hard on their relationship. And I think Nicole, from when I first met her until now, her like communication skills, just like with her emotions and just what she wants and how she's feeling, like, she's gotten so much better with communicating, and that's something that like Carl definitely like needs and wants. So it's definitely been cool to see. They've grown a lot, and I believe they're committed to each other for a good long time.
and they're still together, obviously, today.
Yeah, they got a puppy together not that long ago.
Well, that's good for them. I'm glad. They were a couple that
defied the odds.
Yeah. I'm glad they were able to work things out, and, you know.
Yeah. It took a lot, though. It's like they've been honest about it. They've done lives and stuff. Like, it wasn't, like, easy, and it didn't happen overnight. Like, they both admit, like, they went through some serious stuff on the island, and they had a lot of discussions for a long time to get to the point they are today. It was a lot of, like, hard work, for sure. But they love each other, and they're committed to that.
Good for them. I'm glad to hear that. So that means it's been over a year that they've actually been back together. Clearly they've been.
Oh yeah. No, they've been together a while now, because we actually went to Texas like last May, when there was like a brief time where like we were able to fly, and like Texas was like chiller than California and whatnot. And we went to Texas last May, and they were fully together like on social media. So, and that's almost a year ago.
I think I remember those pictures from that trip that you guys had posted, because I follow most of you from your season. And I thought that was interesting. And then people were messaging me saying, hey, are Carl and Nicole back together? And I said, I assume they are. They're, you know, together and spending time together. Are they And if this is private and they don't want it out there, then don't answer the question. But are they back living together, or they're just in Chicago, but they live separately?
I don't think that's private. I think that's like well known. But yeah, no, they've been living together for a while. They did it when they broke up. They very much lived separately, did their own thing for a long time, even when they were like talking and working things out. But no, they like have a dog together. They have like a little life. They built a little life together.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I remember having Carl on, and I thought Carl was one of the guys on the first season that probably had some of the most growth. I think I told him that when he was on the podcast. I really liked him.
Yeah.
And, they were the ones on their final bonfire where they first chose to stay together. And then Mark said, are you sure? And then they said no.
Yeah.
And they ended up breaking up. And then, it was.
Yep.
So good for them.
Moving
on, I want to talk about who's the third couple. We could talk about Tom and Chelsea, or we'll save the best for last. We'll save Kendall and Erica for last.
Yeah, let's save the best for last. This is my favorite.
So Tom and Chelsea.
I don't even know where to start.
They were the first two that I interviewed this season, and it was after episode one. So I hadn't seen anything other than what they showed on episode one, which was just the basics of the arrival and why they were there and all this stuff. And, I liked both of them. I really liked Tom, and I really liked her, and I had no expectations in terms of, I had no idea where this was going. And
I didn't at all.
If you could have told me then they're going to leave the island together, I would have been like, okay. If you could have told me then they're both leaving with someone else, I would have said, okay. And if you would have told me they're both leaving single, I would have been like, okay. Like, I could have seen any outcome with them after episode one when I spoke to them. Now, having watched everything, I don't know. I'm really still up in the air about them, because they've literally both said, if you cheat, I'm done. Like, we have rules, and both of them have broken those rules. So I'm assuming that means they're done. I don't know. I'm just going by what they said.
Confusing. They are so confusing to me because it's like, and I like both of them as individuals. I really do. I think they're both really cool people. But it's like watching the show, I'm like, you guys are both literally doing the exact same thing to each other. And you guys keep retaliating against each other based on like the same things that you guys are doing. Like both of them are being huge hypocrites. I'm sorry. I said it. Like both of them.
I trust me, a lot of people feel the same way as you. And I'm at a point right now.
You don't think like they're both doing the same thing?
No, I kind of see it as well. I guess I never thought the word hypocrite. I just was thinking like when she has done some things, it seems like she kept Blake at a distance and specifically was not making out with him.
She did at first.
Yeah, she kept him at a distance. She specifically was like, I don't want to go, like, not crossing that barrier. But it seemed like when she saw Tom getting flirty and handsy with Sophia is when she flipped her switch and been like, okay. But then, but she took Tom's flirtiness as, I guess he cheated. So I'm going to go, because it seems like she only gave in to Blake and started making out with him when she saw Tom rubbing Sophia's butt. Like that's
the booty.
Yeah.
The booty, right?
Yeah. That's where she seemed to flip the switch. And it's like, okay, but he didn't. You guys had rules. And she said it on the podcast. She said it on the show. No kissing, no sex, and nobody in the other person's bed. Well, she didn't see any of that with Tom, you know? And she.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think she. Yeah, but I, you know, as far as I know, like on the overnight date, she kissed Blake and then sent him on his way. Like he stayed in another room. So it's not like she said, oh, wow, Tom's going to rub Sophia's butt. I'm going to go bang Blake. That's not what happened, at least at least what we were shown.
This is what I think happened from, like, because obviously I've been on islands before, but this is what I think happened. I think they went in it with rules. I think I know because she said it a million times on the show, she has an issue with how flirty he gets with women. Like, that's her thing, okay? Like, that's what she went into it. Like, this is my issue, and I want you to show me that you can, like, handle an environment like this and not, like, be all over women. So then she got on the island, and again, when I say it's a high-stress situation, I don't think people can ever fully understand what it's like until they've actually, like, been on the show, mic'd up, like, lights, camera, action. Because it's a crazy, crazy experience. And I think once she finally was there and, like, the cameras are on and everyone's drunk and she's seeing these bonfire clips, I think she got really in her head and was just like, okay, he's cheating just based on that one little clip, because your mind can go crazy places. And like going back to my season when everyone was asking me like, why did you not watch the clips? It's like, I was trying to keep my like sanity and watching these things was not helping me like stay sane. So I could definitely see how she would see a little clip like that and immediately her mind is just going to go wild. And then she's like, okay, I'm going all in with Blake, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think that's
like a snowball effect.
And then obviously after Tom saw her clip of her kissing Blake is when he finally gave in and kissed Sophia.
Yeah. So and he went in. Yep.
I guess the one thing that I could see them keeping them both together is them finally talking for the first time to each other.
Yeah.
And realizing we both basically only did this to get to the other one.
Faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like,
they need to like have like a nice good sit down chat and be like, we both did these things to basically upset the other person. You know?
Yeah. And it seems like that's what they did. And I think once they talk to each other, they can realize that, I mean, I don't know how she feels about Blake personally, you know, on the show, post show or anything, and Tom and Sophia. If it was just
No idea.
Sophia's somebody I got close to during the show. She was there for me. We kissed. Kind of like how, you know, when we get to Erica in a second, she just said like, yeah, I kissed my guy at the very end, but it was because he was there and I felt like it. Like it could have been that way with Tom and Chelsea. If that's the one thing that does keep them together is the fact that they both admit, you know what? I only did that with the other person because I saw what you were doing and I took it out of context or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
I made assumptions.
Totally.
So I guess I could see that, but again, another couple that if you tell me any outcome, I'd be like, yeah. If you tell me any outcome, I'd be like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And I felt the same way that you said, like when they first got announced, I had no idea which way it was going to go just by like checking them out. Like no idea.
It's something to where, again, any outcome, I'll be like, okay, I can see it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with them. Final couple, Kendall and Erica.
Who are faves?
Kendall and Erica. Obviously, I think most people are comparing Kendall to Evan.
yes.
And to David. Yes. And to David from last year, because they're the people on the show that had sex, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So, again, Kendall has some really has said a lot of questionable things this season. Said a lot of, you know, when he came on my podcast, he said a lot of things, and it just seemed like it was just a lot of word salad. You know, just a lot of words.
Yeah,
not a ton
like
of
what Evan does. They just talk in circles.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay.
Okay.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to really say. I can't imagine in a million years these two leave the island together. But again, it doesn't. That might happen. They might not leave the island together, but it doesn't mean.
We don't know what it means.
Post show, you know. So was it almost
yeah.
was it almost triggering watching Kendall this
I'll
season?
So I'll be totally honest right now, and I don't care. Like, I keep it real. So I did not watch their bonfire because I've seen clips of it, but because, like, I mean, I'll get more into this in my podcast down the road. But, I mean, I've talked to you about it. Like, I totally have PTSD and, like, stuff from my time on the island. And, yeah, it's 100% triggering for me. It gives me anxiety. It gives me a little panic attack. I can't watch it, like, at all, because it's way too eerily similar to my little blackout traumatic moment. And from what I've seen, though, Erica is handling herself really well in the clips that I've seen on, like, IG and Twitter. Like, she seems like she isn't letting him get in her head the way I let Evan get in mine, which makes me want to just, like, freaking fist bump her, like give her a hug, give her a kiss, like, girl, you killed it, because Evan got in my head and was gaslighting the shit out of me on national television, and it seems like she didn't let Kendall do that so far. Like, right? Like, do you think she's handling herself well?
So far so good, but like I said, I know that you said you didn't watch the bottom of Bonfire. We only got up to the point where they're making their decision. It's he had his time to speak where she listened.
Like,
she had her time to speak where he listened. And, but she did let him know that what he did made her feel low and feel like shit and
yeah.
disrespected their relationship and disrespected her.
Good.
You know, she told him that and he said he agreed. So I don't.
Yeah. But. And also, like, wasn't there like a part where she was like, when he was saying he was trying to emotionally grow, and she was like, how does having a threesome help you emotionally grow? I want to understand that. Didn't she say something like that?
I can't remember if that was on part one or we haven't seen that part yet. I don't remember.
Oh, well,
they definitely
it's on like Twitter and IG. I haven't given anything away. I promise it's okay. out there, but
yeah.
I did see that. And I was like, damn girl. Like, I wish I could have said some shit like that, but I was a freaking gaslit mess. So
yeah.
I couldn't.
Yeah, she basically said, like, I mean, she acknowledged the threesome and acknowledged that it's not like you did it once, you kept doing it. And, you know,
yeah.
you know, even Ugh. Even with him saying, I know, and I lost my, and him saying, I lost myself out there, and I realized I did
no.
some things that I shouldn't have.
Bullshit.
It seems like it's just words from him. I don't feel like, I but I don't know. I got,
yeah.
I need more of them post show. I really need to see the reunion, and I really need to see what Kendall and Erica say post show, because they could only say so much when I spoke with them, which was back in episode like 3 and 4, you know, so.
Yeah. So you didn't know then.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Kendall for me is like, I really try to not, like, I want to think the best of people. But with that said, like, I have true experience with someone that may or may not be, I'm not a doctor, I'm not diagnosing, I have to say that for legal reasons, but may or may not be a narcissist or a sociopath, okay? Yeah. And when you have experience with someone like that, once you're out of it, whenever you run into someone else that may also have those characteristics, it is so, so crystal freaking clear. Like, it's actually a very like jarring experience, because before, when you were blind to it, you never noticed it. But watching Kendall on the show, and mind you, I've watched everything but their actual bonfire. So I've seen everything. I've seen how he talks in his confessionals around the guys, around the single girls. I see how he words things. And I'm telling you, like, I hope that it's just really bad editing, but I think he's worse than Evan. And I stand by that. Like, I honestly think the dude's worse.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, big time. Because Evan, at least, like, think about it. Like, think back to season one. Like, when Evan was doing all his crazy shit, he was still pretending that, like, he felt bad and still had, like, feelings for me, you know? Like, he was still, like, fake crying, and he was still asking if he's a monster and that he's a piece of shit. Like, he was still trying to, like, keep up the show that, like, this was, like, killing him inside, that he was, like, falling in love with someone else. Kendall is just, like, the lack of, like, emotion and empathy for Erica is, like, jarring. Like, the way that he speaks about her, how I hope she's learning what she needs to learn, and not even acknowledging the crazy, absolutely insane stuff that he's doing to her. Like, it's wild to see, because Evan wasn't even like that. You know, he just, like, there's nothing there. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, the amount of times that Kendall has said wanting Erica to be the woman I know she can be and stuff like that is very manipulative.
Big time. And it's just like, dude, like, are you not seeing the way that, like, the other guys are reacting to you, calling you out? What's her name? Tula calling you out? Like, Erica is not your, you need to not worry about Erica and what she's doing. You need to, like, worry about yourself and get yourself together, because something is going on. Yeah. You know, like, this isn't normal.
You know, the other thing that's confusing is this guy has done a live, like, after the last five episodes, he goes live immediately on Instagram, and I watched, like, the first 5 or 10 minutes, and it's a lot of the same stuff, a lot of the same verbiage, a lot of the same, none of you know what you're talking about, and it's always attacking the people that are calling out his, what we're seeing on TV. And look, I know it's reality TV, and I know there's editing, but I also know the way he has spoken to and about Erica. And
and also about the other girls too. Like, when he was, like, pressuring Alexis into that freaking second threesome situation.
Yeah.
And he was, like, saying how he can, like, he expects it all the time. And then when she was trying to go to bed, he's, like, telling Nicole, go get your girl. Like, it was just, the dude is just, I hope that it's bad editing again. I really do. But he just has, it's seeming like he has no respect, like, for, like, any women. Like, it's really hard to watch. Like, it was very, very cringe. And I think the thing that, like, Evan has a one up on him is Evan at least pretends to, like, be charming. Like, Evan, like, had everyone charmed on that island. Okay. Like, all the girls, like, everyone, like, camera guys, mic guys, like, because he knows how to put on a show. Kendall doesn't even try to put on a show. He just is so, like, he lacks so much emotion and empathy. It's like, almost, it's just like, dude, like, what's going on? Like, you have to, I just don't get what's wrong with the dude. Like, watching it is really hard. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And I hope Erica wakes the hell up and gets out.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens next week, and we'll see the,
I know, man. And I heard she was being strong though. So hopefully she keeps that momentum going.
Yeah. I really, really hope so for her sake, but let's, let's move on. You've got some venture coming up shortly. And
I do.
You are now venturing into the podcast world with,
for real,
Casey's Living Room, right? That's going to be the name of, that's the name of your podcast, right? And when is it starting? And tell everybody what it's about.
Okay. So I am actually recording my first official episode on Monday. I'm super stoked. And my jingle, like my little intro music, is being created right now. I'm freaking excited. It has like fun little voiceover in it. It's great. But basically, I just wanted to, well, you actually helped me start this whole thing. I started podcasting with you, and just the feedback that I get from everyone, I just feel like I'm able to speak about all different types of things, like fun things like this, like reality TV and just like the trash and the nonsense. And then also I can talk about like real life stuff, like mental health and dating and being single and all that. And I'm just, I feel like I'm well spoken, and I feel like it's a gift that I need to share. And I've been really nervous about it because I'm a big perfectionist, but I mean, you would know better than anyone. It's just one of those things, you just have to start doing it. So I'm going to go balls to the wall and just start doing it.
Yeah, no, good luck with that. And you're going to have some episodes where it's just you, and then some episodes where you're bringing on, you know, guests and stuff.
Yeah. So I think what I'm going to do is episode one, we kind of talked about this briefly, and I've kind of made it known on like my social media and stuff, because I have a pretty large following, not like gigantic, but I do have a little following, and most of it's from TI, and that's awesome. I'm so thankful for that. But at the same time, it's like we're going into like 3 years later, and it's like I'm doing everything I can to separate myself. And it's hard because that's what everyone knows me from. And like, I keep getting asked to do like promo for new seasons and stuff. But my first episode is basically just going to be kind of rebranding and like reintroducing me. And lots of people have assumptions about who I am and what I'm about just based on the show. And I think you've learned that I'm not like that at all. Like from what you saw on the show and how you know me now, like I'm wildly different, right?
Very, very different.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. Like when people meet me in person, they're like, we did not expect you to be like that. So I just want to reintroduce myself first episode, kind of like set expectations for what it's going to be about. And I do want a large portion of it to be about mental health. I feel like that's like a struggle that I've had my whole life. And I feel like a lot of people nowadays, it's still so taboo to talk about. And when people do talk about, they make it so serious. And I want to just talk about it like really candidly with people. And I want people to relate to it and understand like, it's a freaking epidemic. Like mental health is a big deal. And I feel like I have the voice to share it with people and help people and inspire people to be them their best self. So that's my plan. And then I'm going to have guests on as well. Like I think, actually I don't think Mark is going to be on it eventually. I'm sure Shar and Javen will be on there. And then I eventually want to get like really big time guests. Like, I don't know. I want to shoot for the stars.
Well, according to your Twitter, an hour ago, you tweeted that Zac right. Efron is newly single and maybe he's who I'm meant to be with. So maybe you can get Zac Efron on. How about
right?
that?
I know. That'd be great.
And then do you know what your pinned tweet is right now?
Yeah, my left boob is significantly larger than my right.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. I'm looking at your Twitter page. I'm like, these are the first two tweets that I'm looking at. My left boob is significantly larger than my right boob. That is your pinned tweet right now. And then the Zac Efron one is right below it.
I literally tweeted that the other day because I was just like, wow, that's kind of wild. And then like so many people started liking it and retweeting it. And I'm like, okay, heck yes, I got to pin it. Like it got enough likes.
Okay. Is that a thing? I don't even know. Is that with all women
totally
or most women or
natural,
a lot of women?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. If you have like natural boobs, it's totally 100% a thing. Like totally a thing. If you read the comments in that tweet, it's a thing. Like everyone is commenting that.
Is your right boob jealous? Does the right boob want to be bigger? Is that, is she mad? Is she mad? Are they fighting?
Very. Yeah. Jealous as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I didn't know that. And then I saw the tweet and I'm like, oh, interesting. Is that a thing? I didn't know if that was just for you or whatever.
It's a thing.
You know, you talk about, you know, your podcast and, you know, coming out, it's called Casey's Living Room. You could follow it on Twitter at Casey's Living Room, KACI.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but I wanted to talk about a little bit with you, because I've, you know, I've had an interesting last 24 to 48 hours in regards to some stuff that has come up about my past and in what I wrote, and then what happened with Demi this past, you know, summer. And you are somebody that I've been talking to on and off for 3 years. And one thing that's really struck me in the last 2 days that I learned about myself that I wasn't aware of, or I never looked at it the way that it's being presented to me, is both Becca and Demi have said that I have a power dynamic in my relationship with the people on the show, because they're only friends with me to be on, you know, my good side. And it's funny, because I've never looked at myself that way. I've never asked any of the people who I'm friends with or acquaintances with on the show, whether I have met them in person or I've never met them, but we talk in text all the time. I've never looked at my relationships with them that way. And so I just wanted to ask you, as somebody who's I've been friends with for 3 years, like it's kind of surprising to hear that. I've never looked at myself that way, as, oh my God, I've got this power relationship, and are these people just friends with me so I don't say anything negative about them? And, you know, you're not in Bachelor Nation, but you came to me through the reality TV world with Temptation Island, and you were my guest every week for season one. So I don't think that that's how our relationship started, but you know, have you ever looked at me as someone that, that you kept in, did you ever, and look, I'm not going to take offense if you say you have, but have you ever kept in touch with me as a friend? Have you kept in touch with me for 3 years and responded to my texts when I text you about stuff, whether it's reality TV related or whatever related? Have you responded to me or kept this friendship up because you felt like you wanted to stay on my good side?
No. So honestly, and I'm being 100% real with you right now, when I got the opportunity to podcast with you for season one, I was really excited, but I was very nervous. Didn't know a lot about like this whole world, social media, reality TV, podcasting. I didn't know any of it. So I was just excited for like, I get to like tell my story every week. So I thought that was cool. However, as over the past 3 years, like I've grown in this world and met more people and connections. And I think when people realize that me and you are like actually like close, like where we like text and like you're a friend, like you've met my parents, like we're friends, like people are genuinely surprised. And I've had conversations with people from the reality TV world, not even just TI, but they all made me realize that a lot of people do see you in that light. And my mind doesn't work that way, so I never thought of it like that. But a lot of people apparently were like really jealous that I got that opportunity to podcast with you every week and be able to tell my story and have you see me in a good light and share that on your platforms, because people do see you that way, I guess. And I mean, it sucks because you just don't know like who your real friends are, but I personally have never thought of you like that. I think that we're real friends, and it's just cool that I get to like chat with you like this every now and then.
Well, thank you. I mean, you're the third person that I've been able to contact tonight, and I've still got many more to contact, because now after everything that's broken the last 24 to 48 hours, I really want to know from the people that I am a friends and acquaintances with, and I want them to be honest with me, because like I said, maybe I'm dumb and maybe I was just naive, but I never, ever looked at my relationship with anybody in Bachelor Nation as they're only talking to me because they don't want me to report something bad about them. I just thought they continued to talk to me and would FaceTime with me or text with me or even talk to me on the phone or sometimes even, you know, hang out with me because they, you know, once they got to know me, they realized, oh, hey, cool guy. And you know what? I don't even think I'd be offended if they came to me and said, you know what, in the beginning, Steve, when I first was in contact with you, whether I contacted them first or they contacted me first, there was a little part of me that felt I need to get on this guy's good side. But since I have known you more, I realized, no, that's not what you're about. That wouldn't offend me if somebody said that. But I'm very processing this right now. This is all very new to me. And I did not know this until Becca and Demi both addressed it when they called me out for my behavior. And I never wanted to be in a power position with anybody. It's just some people I whether they reached out to me or I reached out to them. It was just, hey, I think, you know, we can talk about this. And then it turned into maybe a friendship where friendship was just strictly, because there are some people in Bachelor Nation that I just strictly text with. I've never FaceTimed with in my life. There are some that I've texted with and FaceTimed with. There are some that I've FaceTimed with more than I text with. And there are some that I've actually met in person. Like it varies from person to person. Not everybody is the same, but it really has me questioning now my relationship with these people after being told now by two people in Bachelor Nation, Steve, the only reason people are friends with you is because they don't want you to write anything bad about them. And that's, I never thought it that way. I maybe I'm an idiot.
I think the only time that I realized that people may think that you are like, you have a position like that is when I was chatting with a group of people and I was talking about my podcast and like getting ready to do that. And all of them were like, you know, like you're so lucky because you already have like so much publicity and so many people that will listen because of the opportunity that Steve's given you and like the way that he speaks about you. And that's when it kind of hit me, because I was like, damn, like you guys really think like that? That because of like me podcasting with Steve and like my friendship with Steve, like it's going to like help me like get further in like my career. It's just, it's wild to think, but people do think like that, unfortunately, nowadays. And I feel like you, like now that I know, I've known you for so long, you do have like, you have a good heart and you, it's not in your nature to think like that, you know?
Yeah, I'm almost speechless, because there's times, you know, ever since this has come up in the last 24 to 48 hours, it's stuff I've never had to think of before. I've never thought about any of my Bachelor Nation relationships or any reality TV relationships that way, where I'm holding this power and being told that, you know, people were afraid to speak out against me because of this power that I didn't even know I was holding, nor was I trying to exert it over anybody, because I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know that they were only talking to me because, there's some out there, not all of them, but there are some out there. Demi specifically said on her tweet last night, I specifically didn't tell you, you made me feel uncomfortable because I was afraid you were going to hold it against me and you were going to come after me. And it's just like, wow, I had no idea. I had no idea that that's the way I was looked at by people. And I had no intention of ever, you know, I don't even know what to say. Like I'm still flummoxed by this a little bit, as you can tell, but I wanted to ask you, as somebody that I've been friends with for 3 years, was it ever like that with you? And you say no.
No. I feel like at first I was like a little bit nervous, like podcasting with you, because obviously you have like a huge following on Twitter. You're huge in Bachelor Nation. Like everyone knows Reality Steve if you watch reality TV. But no, once I got to know you and we like built a real friendship, I've never felt that way. I do know that, like, for example, like Evan and Morgan, they weren't really well liked on my season. And they, I think they felt some type of way about me and you podcasting every week. And they felt like it was a power play type thing. But no, I've never felt that way. I consider you a good friend. You've met my parents. And I think it's just when you have a big following the way that you do, it's just natural that there's going to be people out there that are going to feel that way and that they're going to just want to be your friend to have themselves in a good light or be talked about on your Twitter or your recaps or whatnot. And unfortunately, that's the way the entertainment industry and reality TV works. But no, I've never felt that way, and I consider you a good friend. So
thank you. I appreciate it.
It's
nice to hear in times like these, because it's been really rough the last couple of days. But you know,
it's been not fun,
to say the least.
But you got this.
Casey, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you being a friend that you have for the last 3 years. And obviously, we're going to watch this finale play out. And I know that, you know, during Temptation Island, they're already running commercials for, hey, if you want to be on next season of Temptation Island.
So. I know. I saw that on Facebook, too. I, like, never go on Facebook, and I literally went on for the first time just to, like, check what's going on. There's a bunch of, like, Facebook pages, like, try out for the next season. Like, really?
Yeah. And we,
you know, first three have gone.
we know that this season filmed in mostly the month of October, so it looks like they're going to go, you know, I'm assuming it's going to film in 2021, whether it airs at the end of 2021 or airs beginning of next year like this one did. What, you know, we'll find out, but it looks like we're set for a season four at some point. And we'll have you on again to talk about that. I'm thinking
that they're going to probably film in like October again, because it's like what, middle of April? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean, crazy.
Yeah, I think it's we're set for a season four. When it films and when it airs, we don't know yet, but I'm sure when it does air, we're going to have you on again, and we're going to talk about this again. So,
yep.
Always have you there to be on. So, Casey, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, and we will certainly be in touch.
All righty.
Thank
you. Talk
to you later. Bye. Thank you to Casey for that. I always love having Casey on. Those have been fans for a while know that she was on every week during season one, and then we've had her on to talk about other seasons, season two. We had her on, I think, the beginning and end of season two, and now get her thoughts on this one. But, you know, what I brought up there at the end is absolutely something that has struck me in the last, 24 to 48 hours is, you know, just questioning. I'm going, you know, to try and better myself. I'm going to everybody that I am friends with. Obviously, this happened late last night, so going to be talking to more people today, but she was the third person that I contacted last night. Just wanted to ask, like, is this how you feel about me? Is this how you felt? And if you say, like, in the beginning, yeah, I wanted to be on your good side, but it's more about why have you kept in touch with me, you know? And I guess I gave people the benefit of the doubt and felt that they kept in touch with me and remained friends with me and would respond to my calls or respond to my texts, or they felt comfortable reaching out to me through call or text or FaceTime because they felt I was a good guy and they felt that, I was somebody they could feel comfortable talking to. But after Becca and Demi brought this up, that there was this power dynamic that I wasn't ever looking at when I had friends in Bachelor Nation. I just thought these people actually continued to talk to me because they realized I wasn't this monster that the show had made me out to be, and I was this bad guy just looking to ruin people. So, the three people that I spoke to tonight have all said, no, I didn't see you that way. I hope they're being honest. I think they are. I'm gonna do some more work on this and really find out and see if that's the way it's been. So, thank you again to Casey, and thank you all for listening. It's been tough, and I really just want to, you know, tell everybody again that I apologize for the things that I have done, the things that have become public, and I'm doing what I can to be better. I think I've done a lot in recent years, as Ashley and I talked about on my live last night, in podcast work. The He Said, She Said podcast, where I felt, you know, in speaking with women who were sexually abused, who were raped, who were cheated on, I think the advice that I gave during those was positive advice and not, you know, blaming them or victim blaming or anything like that. So I do feel like I've made strides. The Demi stuff I did not know about until last night. And once I found out, I apologized. I apologized to her personally and also on Twitter. And that's all I can do. And, you know, and all I can do in terms of apologies and then going forward, just be better. And I crossed a boundary there that I did not know. And I apologize. I'm sorry to Demi for that. I had no idea and I should have. That's the bottom line, is I crossed a line, and I should have known. So I'm sorry for that. So thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. More Temptation Island stuff. We're going to wrap up Temptation Island this season, since the finale is on Tuesday. The finale on Tuesday is going to have everything. It's going to have your final three couples resolutions and the reunion show. And then I'm sure a lot of those people are going to go live, and we're going to find out maybe if there's a change from the reunion show until now in their relationship. So take it from there. But thank you all again for listening. I appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week. See you.